Blog Talk Radio.
I am a man.
Good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is such a joy for me to be able to meet with you on Friday with our Friday Fellowship of Learners. I apologize this morning for being late coming on. We had some technical difficulties, however, God overrides all things to bring all things to an expected end, and he expected us to work and come together this morning in our fellowship. And so we thank and praise him for his graciousness and his faithfulness and his mercy. I pray you all had a blessed Thanksgiving day and you enjoyed the atmosphere of worship and praise and thanksgiving unto God. Probably a time in the life of the world that recognizes Thanksgiving, where they recognize God. They realize that they are thankful for some things that they never knew existed or would come their way, or they had no idea of how to make it happen. But God made it happen. God brought them to a place of bowing down to him. And we also realize it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of solemn memorial to those that aren't with us anymore. And that also brings a atmosphere into the minds and hearts of people that only God could bring a comfort to. And so we are praying that they will get the insight and the inspiration and the encouragement from the Lord in the place that they're in, and in remembering that God is, and God is sovereign. God is, and God is yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God is faithful, and God is good. God is the thankfulness for who he is and what he has done and how he has done it. We want to be able to open our minds and our hearts to the vastness of his love and of his mercy, of the depths of his faithfulness and the depths of his holiness, and to know that there is no place that we are in him until he calls us home that is not a place of growth and development. So no matter what we know and what we think, there is still so much more to knowing God and to knowing about God. And that brings us into our new book by David Jeremiah, The God You May Not Know. And I know a lot of you may have looked at it and go, well, you know, I know God. I know the names of God. You know, I've been walking with God for, you know, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, some people. And, you know, so I know God. And I love the way he brings to us the fact that you can know God and know about God, but not really know God. You have the, what do you call it, the facts and the information about him, but do you really know him? And so the purpose of this book, and for us starting to read and study this book, is so that we can go in depth in the teaching and apply this. Not just the knowledge of God, the relationship that we have to God, to our life, the place that it should be. And so it is a book of application. It is a book of spiritual discipline. It is a book of knowing God, coming into an intimate place with him where we apply it to all things concerning our lives, and it changes our thought pattern. It changes our response to life. It changes our response to the things around us because of our proximity to God. Knowing that God is, and he is, and we know the scripture, he's a rewarder of those who faithfully and diligently seek him, that he is faithful, that he loves us. And so we know these things. And so the author really starts off with an analogy of a young man who was very well taken, consumed really by Elvis Presley. He was a big fan. He actually had plastic surgery to make his face look like Elvis when he died, and he went around impersonating the singer and picking up money in places, pretending to be Elvis Presley, or to be a knockoff of Elvis Presley. When they asked what motivated him to shape his life around Elvis Presley, the singer said that Elvis Presley had been his role model, actually his idol for many years. And he told him that ever since he was 5 years old, he said, I have every recording he ever made twice over. So he bought them, and then he bought them again. Pictures in the thousands of Elvis Presley. He had books, magazines, pillows, even a couple of books in Chinese and Japanese about Elvis Presley. He even had tree leaves from the front of Elvis Presley's house. He never saw Elvis Presley in person, but he's seen his movies four times. Once he stood up on the wall of Elvis Presley Mansion and tried to see him, and for 12 hours he stood there trying to get a glimpse of Elvis Presley, but there were so many people, he had no luck and he never could. So it's safe to understand and to see the things that this gentleman did. He did because he worshipped Elvis Presley, but yet he never met the object of his worship. So he realized that knowing a lot about Elvis Presley, but he didn't know the singer himself. Knowing all the songs, all the movies, all the concert appearances, Elvis' personal preferences, his food, his clothes, his cars, none of that is the same as knowing the singer. Therein lies a valuable lesson for Christians as well. Knowing about God and the object of our worship is not the same as knowing God himself. Facts and figures are lifeless. So many books and articles and social media, they all provide an introduction to the person we admire, but they cannot replace a relationship with that person. Better to know about a person than to know nothing at all, but a relationship never becomes the intimate exchange it should be until there is a personal encounter, hand-to-hand, face-to-face, and heart-to-heart. A personal encounter with the object of our worship. So though many people may say, you know, I know God, I don't need to read this book. I know all the names of God. You know, I know the things that God has said. But now, and you know him, you may even know him personally. But today, you should know him more personal than you did 5 years ago or yesterday, because God is ever evolving. He is ever revealing more and more of himself to us. If we lived a million years, we would still have things to learn about the attributes and the character of God, things that go so deep into our spirit man that we would not begin to do it at our first setting or sitting down or encounter God. I was hoping that there could be an individual on the line who had shared during the conference last week, which was a powerful, powerful conference, and it had a lot of teaching about our Lord Jesus Christ And so it brought a lot of truth that, like I say, we know about God. We know about him, but we don't necessarily know him, or our lives have not reflected the knowledge that we know about God, because there's still facts and figures. There's still words on a page, and those words have no life until we embrace them. And we, as the scriptures say, eat the whole scroll, and then they start living in us. So many of the things that we have studied have led us to the kind of relationship and understanding that we need to have as children of God. One of the teachers taught on perspective. Life is just a series of perspectives. It is things that we have touched. They went through the five senses, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you touch makes up your perception of a thing. It's a wonderful game the children used to play. You put a lot of different things in a bag, and they stick in their hand in the bag, and they try to figure out what it is by touch, because they can't see, they can't smell, they can't taste it. And we realize that without more, sometimes it's very difficult for us to perceive what's in the bag. It may feel soft, but then there's so many things that in our understanding, our perception, we believe to be soft. And so we try to come up with a description that will give us what the object is through our five senses. And you may even attempt to smell it. You can do a lot of things, but you just can't look at it. So it's your perspective that will give you the insight of what it is you are encountering, what it is you are experiencing. And so there was such a powerful sharing of the three parts of man that we've talked about in the past. Man has a body, he has a soul, and he has a spirit. And it is that soul that often brings us the perspective that we use to interact with each other and God. That's where our emotions are, and that's where our body functions are processed in our soul, in our mind, in our understanding. So what we see and hear and touch and smell, then our soul perceives what it is, because our mind uses that information from what the body has supplied to develop a perspective, a perception of what it is we are experiencing. And so what we learn is, in that particular area, of those two areas of our body, they can be of our being. It's more than our body, but of our being. They are then driven by our spirit man. And our spirit man is either driven by God, or it is driven by the world, flesh and man. And so if our spirit man, which is the place, the highest point of our understanding, our interpreting, spirit man is going to interpret what the soul has come up with and what the body has contacted. And so as our soul, as our spirit gives us the perspective, it has to be based on a database of information so that we can come up with the proper conclusion. And so that database of information is either the one that has been supplied to us by the world, and they've given us standards and laws and preferences and elements that they have chosen to define life and characteristics of how that life should be approached, how it should be lived out. And that's on the world side. That's on the devil side. That's on the side of the flesh. The body wants what the body wants. The mind wants what the mind wants. And that is generated by what the Spirit says to those two areas of our being. And so when the Spirit is the Spirit of the living God, then what we have so often is our soul trying to produce what the Spirit has established, but our body is not in line with it because it is still driven by the flesh of us. And that is the place why the Scripture says we have to die daily, so that that Spirit of the living God can flow through our soul and through our body. And so even when our mind is overridden, which is our soul, by the Spirit of God, because greater is He than that's in us than any and anything else, and He being the Spirit of the living God given to the saints of God when they first believe in the Son of God. And so when that happens, then becomes that conflict of crisis of belief. Are you going to believe what your body is saying and what your soul is saying from the past? Or are you going to embrace what the Spirit is giving and saying and doing in your mind and in your emotions, in your thoughts, so that it will bring your body in line with what God has said? And so I hope I haven't butchered too much that teaching in that class, but the point was that this godly perspective, this flow of the Spirit, has to be more than words and facts. It has to be more than that. It has to be something that we encounter on a one-on-one, face-to-face, hand-to-hand, heart-to-heart experience. It's something that we have to connect to on a higher plane than just our a hearing and knowing about, more than just our intellect can regurgitate what the Scripture says and the thoughts and the, not the thoughts, but the elements, character, and attributes of who God is. We have to come to experience them. And in that is where we start, or where we continue, because it's not even a start, it is a continue in the Word of God with the person of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how we get to encounter God. He says, you know, unless you go through Him, you know, you don't get to God. And so we are going to be a collection of our experience, huh? Oh, okay. A question of our experience with God, of our relationship with God. And just like any person that has fallen in love, has met someone, and they have gone to know them, they become friends, and that is an ongoing, growing situation that changes daily their understanding and their love for one another. So you're getting to know, you're getting to know all about you, getting to know those things that you like, getting to understand the standard that you require in your relationship, and then you knowing me. Well, He knows us because He made us. And so that aspect for Him has already been done, said, and done. And He has communicated that fact to us in so, so very many ways. He definitely knows us and is without a doubt, He loves us. He has demonstrated that love for us. And because He's known us since before the foundation of the world, His love is pretty much tried and true, and that's it, and that's all. And we have to come to an understanding of what that really means, so that as we embark on this relationship or continue in this relationship with him, we're able to understand that his side of it has already been accomplished, that it is not us trying to figure out, okay, can I trust him? And yet we do learn to, but only through interaction and encounters with him in life situations and receiving his perspective and then embracing it and requiring our body and our soul to, accept his perspective. And that's when our thinking changes. That's when our emotions and our responses to life situation changes. That's when we get a God's eye view. I can look at a thing and I don't see the thing as it truly is. I see beyond it into a realm of the supernatural, because that's the kind of relationship I am in, and that's what I've become a part of. And so it's like claiming your inheritance step by step, thing by thing. As you have need of something, you reach and you realize, I've inherited this. I have been, if you will, gifted this by my lover, and learning that he is our lover. And it's so hard sometimes, and we can say those things, but we really don't, believe them. Maybe it is. We cannot conceive of the fullness of them. What does that mean? He is the lover of my soul. And we know that that's one of the names of God, we know. But what does that mean? And to get that concept in its fullness will take a lifetime to understand. And even then, we only scratch the surface because of the vastness of God and just the magnitude of who he is and what he has done and what he has established for us. And we have to be for real. We really have to be for real. We don't really embrace everything God has established for us, because he said you have all things for holiness. You have them already. There's nothing that you need for that particular element to develop in your life. You have it. But we don't believe it, because if you ask somebody, do you have to say it? They'll say yes. You know? And they'll go, well, you can't live a sinless life. And yet he said, yeah, you can. Because I've given you all things you need. But that's a perspective that we have not felt or touched or smelled or heard or seen in a spirit-filled way. We've seen it. But we have the knowledge of it, because it says it right there. That's the word. But those facts are lifeless, and they don't count until we consume them. He said it. Now we have that place in our spirit where we're diverting from the world standard of the human in insight and intellect, and we are embracing the supernatural. It's not easy to embrace the supernatural, but what should make it easy is that love relationship we're developing with our God, the God of our creation, the God who created us. Let's be for real. Do we really think God created everybody? And we'll say yes, and yes, there's some people we hate. There's some people we don't like. There's some people we don't prefer. How can you believe that the love of your soul has created them and you don't like him, and yet you know he loves him? You know, how many people will try to be content with a relationship with a mother-in-law or a father-in-law or a sister-in-law or whatever, or a kid, okay? But they'll do it for love. They'll do it because they understand that the heart of the person that they love and they want to live in harmony with requires it. And so it's that as much as lies within me, live peaceably with all men. So that means we not that we struggle, But we work on that perception. We work on that God's eye view. We work on that spirit in the flesh that needs to be crucified because it's based on the world standard. And so we're learning that it's this love relationship that we are going to embrace and that we've been called to, will call us to then worship and to love. And he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So that means it's going to take us into a place of full obedience, obedience that doesn't come with a bitter pill, if you will. I better do it because I know or else I'll be. That is not the obedience that God wants. That is not even the obedience that God requires. He requires an obedience that comes out of a love relationship of worship. And he not just requires it, he deserves that. He deserves our worship. And our worship comes from our love. And from that love comes our obedience. And really, when you think about it, if that's where our obedience comes from, then that is also where we are developing a sinless life, because we're going to obey the will and the word of the Lord. And so it becomes a time then in our growth, spiritual growth and development. I love that that concept more than Sunday school or prayer meetings, developing a spiritual growth that never stops. It's always in action. And that's because his love expressions to us are always evolving. God is always at work around us, showing himself to be true to us as the lover of our soul and desiring for us to reciprocate that love and because of that, come to understand that he is the one to be the role model. He is the one, Jesus Christ, Lord, is to be the one that shows us the way, the one to whom we idolize to a point that we want to emulate him. And we highlight to a point where we'll stand on a wall for 12 hours just trying to get a peek at him. And yet standing in our circumstances and situations and our, as the one of the Bible, studies that I was doing this is in our predicament, okay? We're standing there looking for Jesus. Searching in our eye gates to see him and his way that will give us out of this situation, because he is our high priest and he has experienced all things that we have. And he did that on purpose. He purposely came to do that so that he can be empathetic with us. He understands the things that we're going through. And remember, he came because he loved us. And in that love and becoming empathetic to us, he is interceding for us. And so he understands where we are. And so he's been there. So he says, you know, I've overcome. So as we stand on the wall, we're looking and searching, as he says, come at my feet and learn of me. And so we're learning, how did he do that? Well, you know, what was his position when he did that? His position was one in loving his father, and because he loved his father, he obeyed his father's will. And that's where we find ourselves. And so that's that knowing God that we worship. That is how we worship. That's why they often say the worship isn't necessarily my song. The worship is my life, because this is that other individual who made Elvis Presley his life. He wants to look like him. We are to look like who we worship. And so we should look like Christ. We should look like preacher shared once that when you see me, you see Jesus. That's what it's supposed to be. You know, we are to go from place to place being like him and gleaming the reward of that from him. Just as the gentleman did that looked like, or made itself look like Elvis Presley, the moves and the actions and the singing and all of that, the way way his hair was and his clothes were. That's how we are to be. Our clothes of righteousness, looks like Jesus Christ, okay? Our thinking head looks like Jesus Christ. And all of these are places that have been perfected for us by Jesus as he sent his blood in those areas so that our spirit man have an encounter with the God of our creation so that we can get his perspective to change our soul, to change our desire, to change our way of thinking, and thus to override what the flesh and the body would have us do, think, or say, and feel, because we will have encountered the living God. And so knowing the God that we worship, Jeremiah 9 and 23, if somebody can get that, Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24, if they could get that, we learn the benefit of this worship through the word of God, because that's where the promises of God lie within us. And when we learn the promises of God, when we see them and we read them, and we went through a time that we did just that. We went through all the promises of God. And that is supposed to change how we act and feel. Does someone have that? All right, can we have
that? That's what the wise folks are doing. This is what the Lord said. That not the wise folks are doing, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts about me, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord.
Amen, amen. And so to worship God, we have to read that again, the first part.
Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows you, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who circumcised and uncircumcised.
Amen. Amen. So he says, know this, the day is coming. You have to know me. The things that we thought were rich and the things that we thought were strong. And what was the other thing? There were three things.
Wisdom and riches and might.
Right. And these are all the things that belong to God. These are all the things that the enemy has taken in their capture of the seven mountains of influence in the world. And that God wants them back. They belong to him. And he says that how you'll get them is to know me, to really come to and it's a relationship with me. And then you know what? You won't give your riches to anyone else. You won't bless anybody else. That's you know, paramount to, you know, you cheating, if you will, on the person that loved you. And in a right relationship, that's unthinkable. You don't want to disrespect the person that loved you. So whatever thing that you thought was strong, it's not stronger than him. Whatever thing you thought was more was valuable, it's not more valuable than him. Whatever thing you thought was value, glory, okay, of a reputation that you want to embrace, it doesn't have one as comparable to his glory and to his reputation and to the things that he has done. And so as you get knowledge of, what is your glory? Well, learn about me, and you'll know what my glory is when the sun comes up. Have you ever seen a sunset that's just brilliant red? No one can do that. That's me. You know, no one can make the oceans come up out their beds, you know, hundreds of feet high or stay within their beds. So, okay, day after day after day, but, you know, connected to the phases of the moon as to how far the tide comes. All that's me. Everything that's in the ocean and on the land, in the air, they are what I create and maintain and sustain. And so giving glory to anything less than that is idolatry. And you know what? It is, I want to say, it's sad and sorry, because he shared the fact even that, you know, the gods that are made by man's hands, they can't hear, they don't breathe, and they can't see. And he says, and those that worship them are going to be like them. You're not going to be able to hear, you're not going to be able to see, and you're not going to be able to breathe. You're not going to have life in you, and you're going to be subject to the hands of man, not the hands of the living God. And so as a result, he is convincing, or he is presenting his love and the I don't say the benefits, but really just the value of his love. He is proving himself worthy to be the lover of our soul by giving those things to us in such a way that we can embrace them. If he just dumped it on us, it would just be overwhelming. And he knows that. A true lover of your soul knows what you can bear, knows what you can stand, knows and understands that you're going to grow with him, has a confidence in knowing you belong to him. And we need that confidence to understand that we belong to him and he belongs to us. And we say that in songs and in reciting scripture, but we don't believe that God belongs to me. He belongs to me. And that's just a knowledge and an understanding that has to be nurtured every day with that truth. It says you will prosper in peace and joy as you increase in knowledge about me. So we have to never get into a place, oh, I know him. You know of him, but there's a him that you have yet to learn about because you have not experienced it. You read about it. You've been taught it. You may have taught it, but you have not experienced the fullness of it. I love that word fullness, because it's like, what does that mean? That means the full effect that thing was intended to be. I think my bird agrees with me because he's talking, trying to out-talk me. But that is just a place of longing that he wants our hearts to be in. There was a song that I really love. It is a song, you know. I'm running, you know, running after him as a deer pants after water. I can't live without him. How often do we really live with that heart in us? I can't live without him. I need to feel and see and touch and hear and smell him all around me. My grandson often shares, he says, I just want to see Jesus. I just want to see him. And he is saying, and you will see me when your heart is pure, when you are a peacemaker, when you're seeking mercy, when you're humble. Then you're going to start to see that spirit that's in me is going to start to communicate to your soul, to your mind and your thinking, and to your eye gate and your ear gate and your nose gate and your taste and your touch. It's going to start experiencing. It's going to be starting to communicate and interpret the way I do it. And that's when you'll see me, when you can look at a chaotic event, and we were looking out the window, and a whole bunch of stuff was happening, police cars and this and that and people, and then he saw a tree that had turned red, and he said, look at that tree. That's seeing God in the midst of that whole situation. People saw a lot of things, but he saw the glory of God. He saw the thing that speaks to the reputation of God. And that's how we want to walk around. Not that we don't know that is something going on, but what we see is the glory of God. And that puts us in a place of humility, but also a place of remembering, oh, that's right, and he belongs to me, and he is sovereign. That means he's above all things eternally. So that means that no matter what that situation looks like, no matter what your circumstances may be, I think a song put it, you don't have to be subject to that. He says, I lift you up here. You're seated with me in heavenly places to do all things in life that are required in the holiness of the position that I have given you. You are my sons. You are my daughters. And as a result, you have an inheritance that supersedes anything you may get on this earth that is greater and more powerful than anything on this earth. You have been called up to a place where those things can't touch you. They can't touch your soul, your thinking, your emotions, and your responses, because the Spirit of the living God has transformed them with his love, and you, with your love to him, have embraced that and opened yourself to experience this encounter with God, because you look for it everywhere you go, every moment of life you live, every word that you hear, you seek, what is God's glory in this? What is God's interpretation of this? What is my lover saying about this? And because I want to be where he is doing that, that would reflect him, because I love him, because I love him. And so we find ourselves in that kind of mindset we want to have as we read this book. It'd be so easy for us to just glance through and go, yeah, I know. You know the names of God. Yeah, you know about the names of God. But do you really know the name of him? Do you really understand what I am means? Because he says, I am, that means everything which he says, you know, I will supply all of your needs. So don't say I need this or I need that, because I am. If we understand who I am is, then and I am is mine, okay, then I don't have a need. And he says I don't. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so if you understand what a shepherd does, and we understand that relationship he has with us, then I won't want for anything, because I will understand that all things have been provided for me, because he said, because he came and he overcome, then I am an overcomer. He said that he has, no matter what situation or circumstances comes our way, he has already provided a way of escape for us. That's what a shepherd does. So we have to seek what way that shepherd has provided for us, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so those things that we say and say, we want now to be in the forefront of our spirit, of our spirit. We want it to connect to our soul, and then we want it to override our body that is responding to the natural things around us. We want our bodies to start responding to the supernatural that is being released to us through the Spirit of the living God, through the lover of our soul, through the names of God that we can know. And sometimes people can recite them, all, you know, all of them, and they're just amazing. And the more we hear, the more excited we get. And that's because that's our spirit man responding, okay, because it's about him, and you can get this overwhelming love and worship for him in a environment where he is being lifted up and his glory is being revealed, and people all around are all worshiping him, and that time of gathering intensifies that true love that we have for him. We had a service, and during that service they played a song, how he loved me. And the more we sang, the more we heard it, the more it connected to our spirit man, because that's where he lies, and we were worshiping him. It's like, that just saying, that's not just saying, he loves me, but, how he loves me, is remembering those encounters. It's bringing to life those words and those facts that we know about him, and knowing, you know what? This is good. This is really good. Okay. And it brings us to a place at a time, and even in a moment, and sometimes it flees, but it's still there. It's just that as we go forth, we have to allow it to take over more and more and more of our soul, of our thinking, of our thoughts, of our emotions, of our reactions, and to the point where it floods. It really does flood. And when water floods, it wets everything. So when it floods, it transforms everything. It wets everything, and it wets it with a peace. It wets it with a joy. And then it wets it with a love for other people, desiring that they too might know him and not just know about him. But I can tell you anything, but you can know him if you watch me, because you'll watch my relationship with him, and you'll see it come to life. You'll see the power that it has to change me, if nothing else. And as you see how it changes me, it will change you as well. And then you'll long for it. You'll desire that. That's how we share the love of Christ with the world around us. Not so much standing on a soapbox saying, this is a sin and don't do this and you should do that. But it's like, you know what? You should feel what I feel. You should know what I know. You should rest where I rest. Okay, you should run where I'm running, because it is, a sure thing. It is a hope that is in glory, that is glorious. And that's where we're going in this book, to understand and make priority our relationship and our love for Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. We want to make known, we make him known, make him better known to the world through our growing knowledge and understanding of him. He shared with the fact that, we are given counsel by God, but we also have to come to know him so that we, with his knowledge, can follow his counsel. With his understanding, can see the value of his counsel. So if he gives us the one and we have not embraced the other, then the one really will handicap us, because we'll be like treading water, because it's a package deal. So we have to wait. They give us the strength that we need to endure whatever is around us, and that's what brings us the joy, because we understand the counsel, and we have that understanding, and we have knowledge of the counselor, okay, and we know his reputation. We know his glory, and it is going to be upon us. So we want to feed on the faithfulness of God. Literally become feeding on his goodness. We have to feed on his mercy and his power and his presence and his promises and his love and on his endless attributes. We have to feed on those qualities. We have to feed, in other words, come to the table to consume the bread of life, not just in communion, but in living. And so that's what this book is going to share with us, to know him better and to make him known and make him better known, not known through my compromise or my error, but known through his reputation, known through his love, if he is the greatest answer to life is knowing him. And so the greatest thing we can share with those that we want to impact the same crisis is to share that his knowing him, not just he is the answer, he's the answer, but that won't help you. You have to know this answer. You have to know about him as the Lord Jesus Christ. The final night of the life of Christ on earth, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He was praying to his Father. That was his prayer for us, and that is the prayer we embrace as we embark upon this book. And this is eternal life. Eternal life starts now. It starts not after you die. Eternal life starts now. And this is what it looks like, is knowing him and knowing the only true God. And think of those words of God. The author shares just a few of them. The everlasting Father, the God of hope, the Lord of heaven and earth, the author and finisher of our faith, the comforter, the counselor, and the creator, the great physician, the God of all glory. His name is I Am, the Omega, the Alpha and Omega, and the Holy One of Israel. We call him Jehovah, the Most High, the Lord of the living and the dead. He is the maker, the moderator, mediator, and a man of sorrow. He is priest, prophet, and king, our refuge, our rock, and our redeemer. He is the ruler of heaven and earth, and he is the friend of sinners. And so when we see that, he is the friend of sinners. Remember, to be a friend, you must show yourself friendly. And so are you a friend of God? He's our friend, but are you his friend? Can he depend on you to use the knowledge of his love to make his name glorious? And so with that, we will conclude our Friday, last Friday in the month of November. Questions, comments, insights. What did you hear while he spoke to us on this Friday Fellowship of Learning? Amen.
So relationally, you don't make it up and know him, you know. But when you think that you know him, so now you all just walk together, but there's really nothing else to know about him.
Mm-hmm.
That form of arrogance, and how many married people, when they got married, knew their spouses. But as they walked together, or walked, whatever that looked like, the more they got to know them, things evolved. Whenever they evolved. And then they got to a point where either they continued or they stopped. Because they didn't know what they didn't know. And so our relationship is sometimes toxic because we don't know what it is we don't know about God.
Amen.
It is necessary to move forward.
Well, praise the Lord. She should have talked to Lester. Amen. I love that relationship stops because you don't know what you don't know. Hallelujah. And he's saying now, you're going to know, because I'm going to share this with you. But you do have to open your heart, and you have to actually even talk about your pride. And we're going to get to all of those things. And then that's part of that arrogance, even a spiritual arrogance. Sometimes it's even more dangerous than a worldly arrogance, because a spiritual arrogance is in direct conflict with the God of heaven that you supposed to know. So we looking forward to the Advent season, expecting and excited about the fact that he gave a promise and he fulfilled his promise with the birth of his holy, holy son, and he brought our redemption. That's a redeemer. So we pray that that's the name of God we'll look for this week, the knowledge and understanding of our redeemer. Hallelujah, Jesus. What is a redeemer? I think most people who haven't really been in a lot of trouble, you know, really powerful trouble that was about to devastate their lives, you really don't understand the full effect of having someone come and redeem you. You have not been a slave, you know, a true slave, you know, a suffering slave, a slave that was oppressed, and someone redeemed you. You don't really understand the power of that word, an understanding of that attribute, of that name of God to us. He is our Redeemer. So praise the Lord and worship him in the things that you respond to in life that brings him honor and glory, so that they may know our God gloriously. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
See you next week. Amen. God bless you.
Wait, overseer.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What book are we in? What book are we?
The God You May Not Know. That's the David Jeremiah book. We just did the introduction to it.
The God That You May Not Know.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, sure, sure. You can really go online and just type that in, and there's a PDF file that you can print out and you can read from, too.
Okay. I need to get somebody to do that part, but okay.
Okay. But it does come in Audible, too. Do you have Audible?
Okay. Yes, right. Yes. I have the ball.
Yeah. Okay, yes. It definitely comes in Audible, too. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Love you. I pray you had a wonderful holiday.
Yes.
Very good. Yes, God is awesome. He is really a phenomenal, faithful God. I am feeding on his faithfulness. That's it.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Absolutely. All right, then.
Okay.
All right, now don't do too much damage on the Black Friday shopping, okay? Lord have mercy. Okay. Okay.
God bless.
Love you.
Love you too.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.